The following is a Sunday feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 3, text number 21, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on July 10th, 2011, in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas Tattadevetarojana Sayat Pramanam Kurute Lokastad Danuvartate. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to smoke, stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called acharya, or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra, scriptures, to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king, or the executive head of a state, the father and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jathapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Suvadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, we have a great shortage in the world today. We have a great, great shortage. And that is, we are lacking acharyas, persons who are ideal examples of the scriptures, whose lives are the living embodiments of the scriptures. Just like we read, there's the book Bhagavatam, and there's the person Bhagavatam. So acharya means he's person Bhagavatam. He thinks by the scriptures, he speaks by the scriptures, he acts by the scriptures. He's living in the scriptures at every minute, you see. That is person Bhagavatam, acharya. So this is an amazing verse, actually. Krishna is telling us if there are great acharyas who are actually present, they will have a powerful impact on the world society. All the world pursues. That's a very heavy statement. All the world pursues. So if we want to actually do something to benefit the society, all we have to do is become ideal devotees, really, according to this verse. If you become an ideal acharya, you can influence the whole world to come to Krishna consciousness. It's a very powerful statement. I love this verse. So that means the internal spreading of Krishna consciousness is actually the most important. You see, the external, it must go on with full enthusiasm, book distribution, prasadam distribution, programs. But the most important thing is spreading the Krishna consciousness movement right in here, you see. Because if we have that, if we can develop the qualities, the saintly qualities of the great acharyas, to whatever extent we can do that, to that extent we become very first-class instruments through which they can have a most profound impact on the human society. And we assist them by being instrumental. It's like Arjuna. Krishna said, actually, I have already killed all the enemy soldiers. But you go forward as my instrument and you get credit. So actually, Lord Chaitanya is saving the whole world. At the same time, we must become the instruments. You see. And how do we become instrument? By becoming very pure in our Krishna consciousness. Taking very seriously this process of becoming free from lust, from greed, from anger, from madness, from illusion, from envy, and be completely dovetailed with Krishna, doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna. I mean, what could be more wonderful than doing everything for Krishna? He's so sweet. He's so sublime. He's so beautiful. He's the supreme superstar, you see. And you can be one of his intimate insiders, you see. You have that facility. You can be an intimate insider of the ultimate superstar in the history of existence. You see? Full facility. Simply you have to find out what is Krishna like. You see? And do everything for his pleasure. It's all you have to do. You think, well, he's very far away, you know. I'm not like Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra having... But wait a minute, Krishna is present. He's present within every atom, between every atom. You can directly communicate with Krishna. You just have to be pure. Sincerely want to purify yourself. Even if we're not pure. Of course, we're not. We're contaminated right now. But if we sincerely desire to become pure, that desire is very pure. You see, the desire to become pure is a pure desire. So just have that desire to become pure, you see. And Krishna will give all blessings, all help. Bhaktivinoda Thakura so nicely taught us the mood, you see, that beautiful song. I just love that song. Kabe habbe bodo sedi nama. When my offense is ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when in my heart will your mercy shine? Kabe habbe aparada guchi, shudaname ruchi, Kripa bole habe hrido yen sanchar, kabe habe bolo se dinahaman. When, oh, when will that day be mine? He's hankering. When will that day be mine, you see? Lower than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. When will my mind attain this quality? Respectful to all, not expecting their honor. Then shall I taste the name's nectar sublime. Kabe habe bolo se dinahamar. When, oh, when will that day be mine? His heart is pining. Just like a boy is separated from his girlfriend. You know, his heart is pining. Where is my beloved Peggy Sue? Is he? Peggy Sue, Peggy Sue. Pretty, pretty, pretty Peggy Sue. Where is my Peggy Sue? You know? Betty Holly was singing like that. He's pining, where is my Peggy Sue, you see? So the Vaishnava, he is pining, where is my pure bhakti? Where is that pure bhakti? Where is that pure bhakti? You see? Where is that pure bhakti, you see? When will I utter Krishna, Krishna, Krishna with words choked up in shivering body? When will I feel trembling all over? Lose bodily color, tears pouring from my eyes. Kabbe habbe bolo sedi nama. Bhaktivinoda Thakura is intensely hankering for that day when he can become Krishna conscious. Of course, he already is. But he's teaching us by example what our mood should be. And these great acharyas, they actually feel that mood. The Mahabhagavat feels himself to be a low demon. Not just for our sake, but they actually feel that way. That is their humility. Even though they're the purest devotees, completely perfect, they feel that I am the lowest scum, you see. It's not just a show when they write these songs. They're actually, their emotion, they're experiencing and expressing that emotion. And it's so wonderful for us to hear that great emotion, you see, of great saints like Narottam Das, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who have so wonderfully given us these songs to help us understand the mood, the right mood to be in, to actually purify the heart. So nice thing, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He concludes by saying, "When will I forget my self-comforting and set out to preach the command divine?" When will that day be mine? See, now I'm thinking about my eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Got to make a nice arrangement for my eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Bhaktivinoda is saying, "When am I going to forget all that and just think about preaching and saving the people?" You see, when will that day come? When I really become a preacher. Right now, I'm not really a preacher. That's what he's saying. When will I really become a preacher? When and when will that day be mine? When I really think about giving everything to save the poor fallen souls. So if we study these wonderful writings of the great acharyas, see their inner moods, you see, see that emotion, that feeling in their heart, and try to learn that mood ourselves, you see, that will greatly purify us. That will bring us to the new heights of transcendental bliss, actually. New heights of transcendental bliss. There's actually no such thing as plateau. Yeah, plateauing in Krishna consciousness. If you're really properly practicing Krishna consciousness, no such thing as hitting a plateau. No, if you're really doing it properly, you're just going to keep going higher and higher and higher and higher. There's no limit to how you'll go in Krishna consciousness. And the ecstasies that are awaiting us are actually inconceivable. How much nectar is actually out there as we advance more in Krishna consciousness is inconceivable. The nectar that's available for us. Inconceivable. That such nectar could be even experienced by a living being. It's far beyond our comprehension, the mood and the feeling of these advanced devotees. But they're inviting us to come, to join them in pure bhakti. They're inviting us. Prabhupada wrote me a letter. He said, "Now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face." It's a pretty tall order. "Now you just, Sankarshan Das, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. By your mercy, Prabhupada, I'm praying for the mercy." In another letter he told me, he said, "If you will just serve Krishna with full sincerity of attitude 24 hours a day, then Krishna will personally come and answer all of your questions." Prabhupada said that actually Krishna talks to his pure devotees. The Dami Buddha Yogam Tam. That's Krishna gives intelligence, and Prabhupada actually says Krishna will directly talk to the devotee, directly tell him. So Prabhupada ordered me to come to that platform. I'm praying for that day when it'll happen. Prabhupada, please help me. Because that's there waiting for us as we advance more and more in Krishna consciousness. We can actually directly contact Krishna. We can be in direct contact with Srila Prabhupada. Those things are waiting. And Prabhupada said that actually you can hear the spiritual master referring to himself. We asked about him, our relation with him. He said when your heart is pure, then you can hear the spiritual, you can hear directly the spiritual master within your heart speaking to you. So how do we get there? Right now we're just struggling, battling it out with our senses. You know, our tongue, our belly, our genitals, our false egos. Right? We're just battling it out right now at the present level. How do we get from point A to point B, you see? How do we bridge that gap? It's by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. It's not just by endeavoring. You endeavor to the best of your ability, but it's actually by the mercy. It's by the blessings of the great acharyas, by the mercies of our spiritual master, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. whole Parampara system, they are ready, willing, and able to give us all blessings to achieve perfection of Krishna consciousness. But do we really want it? Are we ready for it yet? Problem is, we're not ready for it yet. Well, later. You see. We're not really ready. We kind of want to be in a halfway position right now. That's the problem, you see. But Krishna guarantees, Bhagavad Gita 9:22, Ananyaschintayanto mam ye janapayapasate tesham dachibyuktaunam yogache mam vaham yaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they live. Well, I mean, I'm chanting Hare Krishna and I have to worry about paying my bills. What's going on? Is that verse really true? One might think, you see. But note the condition, exclusive devotion. It means I have no love except for Krishna. Like Lord Chaitanya said, I know no one but Krishna is my love, you see. I have one love and one love only, and that's Krishna. I have no other love except Krishna, you see. That's called exclusive devotion. And Prabhupada explained in one lecture, he said, for one in that mood, Krishna personally delivers to your door all of your necessities. Just imagine Krishna is like the FedEx man. He takes that position, humble position, to serve his pure devotees. Whatever they need, he personally gives them. We can't understand that right now, but we understand Prabhupada understands it. Can you imagine Krishna personally giving you whatever you need? Why would Krishna do that? I mean, who am I? But he is pure devotees. He personally gives them everything they need. So, it's a pretty exciting thing. The more one advances in Krishna consciousness. What's waiting for us is actually inconceivable nectar. So we just have to plug into the process. Whatever level we're on, plug in and perfect at that level. The levels are given by Rupa Goswami. Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangata Bhajana Kriya Tato Narta Navittishat Tato Nishtadrajistitaha. And this way he explains the different levels. You see. So the first thing is faith. Put faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. Even if you're not totally convinced, at least theoretically put faith in it. Well, let me give it a try. The devotees seem to be pretty good people. They seem to be experiencing some bliss that I'm not tasting. Just like I met Vishnu Janaswami years ago in Austin, and wow, I mean, this person was so amazing. Just by seeing Vishnu Janaswami, you got faith. You got faith in the process when you saw Vishnu Janaswami, because he was on a very, you could see, he was on a very high plane. I remember one program we had in a home, I was just a hippie songwriter associating with him, coming to the evening programs. One night in the program, we were in the living room, and I went to the kitchen to get a drink of water, and he also came to the kitchen. Everybody else was in the other room, and it was just me and Vishnu Janaswami there in the kitchen. And this really amazed me, because in those days it was, you know, take as much LSD as possible, smoke, get as high as you can, you know, with all the psychedelic drugs. That was the whole idea back in the countercultural days, you know. You know, get high and don't ever come down, kind of a thing. But Vishnu Zamaraj in the kitchen, he looked at me very, very seriously. He said, "You have to become sober." And I was going, "Wow." I thought sober was for straight people. That's not cool to be sober. You're supposed to be intoxicated, you know. That was my idea. But he said, "You have to become sober." And I could see he was on such a high level of intoxication. His sobriety of Krishna consciousness was an intoxication that was millions of times more intoxicating than anything that we ever took, and every pill or thing we ever smoked, you see. It was much more a higher level of intoxication. So that really impressed me. Wow, you have to become sober. So I did. I sobered up. I checked. I said, "I'm going to try this out for 6 months, see how it works." And by golly, it worked, you know. It did work. I sobered up, and sober and soar. I soared to much higher levels of consciousness than I ever dreamed was possible. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, associating with devotees, taking prasadam. So that the most important thing is to have that faith in the beginning, and then you associate with the devotees. You have faith that these people are experiencing something I haven't tasted. You read the books, you get faith. The Prabhupada is talking about something higher than I've experienced. I want to try it and see what it's like. And that's called faith. And then you associate with the devotees. Your faith becomes stronger. You see what the devotees are doing. They're chanting the japa. They're giving up illicit sex. They're giving up meat eating. They're giving up intoxication. They're giving up gambling. They're doing different things. And let me, it looks like they're having a good time. I'm going to participate with them. I'll try just being part of what they do and see how I like it. Chant and dance with them, feast with them, cut vegetables, whatever, something. You know, do some service for Krishna along with the devotees and experience what it's like. And then you go, wow, this is amazing. And then you find out there's a whole thing you can plug into. The next step described by Rupa Goswami is initiation. You take initiation from the bona fide spiritual master and you engage in the regulative principles of devotional service under his orders. That's the third step. That's called bhajana kriya, described by Rupa Goswami. And then the spiritual master is very merciful. He's very kind because his spiritual master and his teachers were very kind to him. And he just takes it his duty to share the kindness, you see. He's received so much kindness, so he wants to share the kindness. And the next stage is, that is called anartha nivritti, and that's you give up your bad habits. All right, I've been smoking a pack a day, I'll cut it down to half a pack a day. You know, now I'll cut it down to a quarter of a pack a day. In this way, gradually. Or if you can't do it all at once, do it gradually. Give up your bad habits, little by little, if you can't do them immediately. And increase the chanting, and then gradually you can qualify. Of course, I just mentioned the initiation, so you're already doing that before you got initiated. But once you're initiated, now then other bad habits, more subtle things like pride, laziness, those things start to go away too. You start to develop new habits and new ways of thinking, new ways of speaking, new ways of acting that are very, you know, very gentlemanly, very saintly. Whereas before our characters are very rough, selfish type of mentality. We develop a whole different mood, a saintly mood. These things happen naturally once you've taken shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and you're taking training and instruction from him. Then you naturally have a transformation from being a ruffian to become a gentle person. And then the next stage is nishtha. You become solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness, you see. You get a very solid fixity in Krishna consciousness. And then the taste becomes so sweet. As we were discussing earlier, myself and my godbrothers, we had a wonderful meeting upstairs earlier this afternoon. We were talking about how much taste there is in the holy name. Krishna, Rupa Goswami explains, there is so much nectar in these two syllables, Krishna, that millions of mouths are not enough to even taste that nectar. And millions of ears are not enough to taste that nectar. So when one moves to that stage of the ruchi stage, and it's just, there's so much nectar, it's just like the sweetest honey. You're just tasting the sweetest nectar at every minute, and then you become absolutely addicted to Krishna. That's the asakti stage. You become so attached. You see, spiritual life is not becoming detached, actually. Spiritual life means become attached. Become attached to Krishna. Attached to Krishna's name. Attached to Prasadam. Attached to devotees. Attached to Tulsi Devi. Attached to the temple of Krishna. Attached to the deities. Attached to going to holy places. Attached to sharing Krishna with others. Attached to kirtan. Attached to madanga, harmonium, kartals, so many things. Get attached. Become more and more attached to these transcendental things that Prabhupada has given us. And then you're automatically detached from this material world because these things give so much more pleasure. You see? You may have been a big Beatle fan, really got off on it, you know, I gotta hold your hand, but you get in a kirtan, it's a whole other level of enjoyment. And they, what is this? I gotta hold you. Even George said they were nonsense, stupid songs, you know. You get into a whole other level of enjoyment. You see, it's a higher level. You see? If I give you $1 million, okay, Prabhu, here's $1 million. It's yours. Wow, thank you, Prabhu. I could use $1 million. I was only joking. Oh. But I said, Now, wait a minute. I have $1 billion. Give me $1 million. Here's $1 billion. Give you $1 billion. You say, oh, yeah. I'm happy with that, Prabhu. Yeah, I'll be happy to turn in $1 million to get $1 billion. No problem at all, you see. So our material sense, our happiness in this material world, it may be very, it appear to be a very valuable thing. $1 million worth of pleasure, you see. But when you compare it with $1 billion, it's just pocket change, mere pocket change, you see. So once you actually start to get a taste for Krishna consciousness, you relish a pleasure that goes so far beyond anybody can experience in this material world, even on the heavenly planets. Even in the abode of Lord Brahma, the Lord of the entire material universe, you can experience a pleasure which goes millions and billions of times greater than the pleasure tasted by Brahmaji himself. You see? So this is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Vishaya vinivartante nirahara shidehina rasavachang rasopyasya parang vishvanivartate. You see? One may restrain the senses from sense objects. Okay, don't look at pretty girls. Don't get carried away by lust, you see. But you're still hanging to look at pretty girls, you see. You still really want to look at them. You're thinking, you're not looking, but you're thinking about them. You see. But, Krishna says, but when you get that higher taste, then automatically you're renounced, you see. You just have to fall in love with the beautiful form of Krishna. You see, all the beautiful girls in the world, their beauty is simply a little tiny, insignificant fraction of the beauty of Krishna. No offense to you beautiful girls over there, by the way. But when you become attached to the beauty of Krishna, then there's no beauty in the world that competes with Krishna, you see. So I'm thinking, oh, I can't look at those beautiful girls, but I'm thinking about them. No, it won't be like that. I'm just thinking of Krishna, how beautiful he is. That smiling face, that flute. I mean, that Krishna is so amazing. If you just see Krishna, you can forget everything in this material world. In fact, Krishna's darshan is so powerful that one gopi girl, she warned her gopi girlfriend, Smaran vangi trayapada chitang sati vishtirna drishtim vangsi nastada kishilayam mujvalang kranjukena. Govindakam haritanum itaha keshi tirpakatante ma prakshishtavayadi sake bandhu sangesti rangaha. My dear gopi girlfriend, if you have any desire to continue enjoying society and friendship and love in this world, then I have one piece of advice for you, my dear gopi girlfriend. There is a boy tonight standing on the bank of Jamuna at Keshi Ghat. His name is Krishna. And he's standing in that beautiful moonlit night. Don't go anywhere near there tonight. Don't you dare go anywhere close to Keshi Ghat tonight, because he's standing there casting sidelong glances, and he's placing his flute to his lips, where like newly blossomed twigs, his transcendental body bending in three places is very bright in the moonlight. Don't go, don't go, don't go. So what did that gopi do? Immediately, who is this smiling boy Govinda? You see. So this is Krishna consciousness. If you have any desire to remain in the cycle of birth and death, gratifying your senses, then get up and walk out of this room right now, because you're in dangerous territory. Because here, if you hear the kirtan, you see the deities, you taste the prasad, you associate with the devotees, you're going to fall in love with Krishna. You're going to fall head over heels madly in love with Krishna. Of course, we want you to stay. I was only saying that. It's called reverse psychology. We really want you to stay. We love you. Krishna loves you, and we love you. So please stay. Please stay and fall in love with Krishna. Because the more you hear about Krishna, the more you see the beautiful paintings of Krishna, the deities of Krishna, you know, the pastimes of Krishna, the more your heart will be carried away by that boy, that amazing boy, Krishna. And then you will forget all of the nonsense tidings of this material world. You become more attracted to KNN instead of CNN, the Krishna News Network. CNN will not liberate you from this material world, but KNN will. The more you can hear about Krishna and chant Krishna. I always say, why read the news when you can be the news? One who takes up this mission of Lord Chaitanya, he becomes a hero, actually. Anyone who takes up this preaching, they become hero. So why read the news when you can be the news? Tell people about Krishna. Krishna recognizes you, a great hero, immediately. Oh, he's telling about me. He is a great hero, you see. Tell about Krishna. Tell about him to others, you see. So you be the news instead of reading the news. Why study history when you can make history? By telling people about Krishna, you are making history. You are turning the history of the planet Earth upside down by telling people about Krishna. You see, you're acting as one of the saviors of the world, actually. You know what Prabhupada one time said? He said, every one of us, Messiah. He said that. Every one of us, Messiah. So anyone who takes up this mission, they become a savior of the fallen soul. Anyone who tells other people about Krishna, to become a savior of the fallen soul. A great hero, actually. So, of course, we don't think ourselves like that. We're just humble servants, our spiritual master, that's all. But I know one thing that Vishnujana Maharaj told me. Prabhupada, Prabhupada said like this, that you're all saying, all glory to Srila Prabhupada, but why don't you become glorious? In other words, you can judge a tree by the fruit. So the best glorification, the very best glorification we can do of Srila Prabhupada is we become pure devotees. You see? You can judge a tree by the fruit. But these are Bhaktivedanta Swami's men. You see, just see their saintly qualities. That's what we should do. We should develop saintly qualities as described in the scripture. Shamadamastapashocham chanchir arjavamevacha Jnanam viganam astakram bharma karma svabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, shamadama, tapa, austerity, cleanliness, tolerance, you see, chantir arjavam evacha, jnanam, knowledge, viganam, practical application of knowledge, astakyam, full faith in the scriptures, religiousness, you see. We develop these qualities, these saintly qualities. Then we will actually become acharyas, as described by this verse, and we will have a revolutionary impact on this world society, and the Lord knows how much the world needs this influence right now. The direction it's going is down, down, down. But we can reverse that tendency by ourselves coming up in Krishna consciousness and sharing that Krishna consciousness with everyone in a very loving, kind, and intelligent way. Sharing Krishna with everyone. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Sureshvara Prabhu.
You know, it's interesting. When you quoted the 922 verse about, but those who worship me with exclusive devotion.
Yes.
Meditating in my transcendental form. To them, I preserve what they have and I carry
that's right.
Why would Krishna say something like that? It almost sounds like it's so easy for people to take that as a good deal. You know, it sounds like a business offer. You know, the deal you can't.
Time's too slick of an offer to be true, you mean?
Well, it's just that people are already making God their order supplier.
Yeah.
So it almost sounds.
That's a very interesting question because part of our teaching to people is don't take God as your order supplier.
Right.
I mean, how many times have Prabhupada taught us we shouldn't be in that mood of taking God as order supplier? But now it seems like you could say, well, Krishna is messing it up by saying this. He messed up our line of our teaching by saying that, well, if you, I'll supply everything. Well, it really comes down to the point that you can't want Krishna to do that. Krishna does do that, but not to those who want Krishna to do that. You understand? If you approach God to fulfill your desires, he may fulfill your desire, but you won't get him. For those who want only Krishna and nothing but Krishna, who are willing to take anything, is Krishna's mercy. Like Kunti Devi, you see. My dear Lord, I want calamities because I'm more Krishna conscious when I'm in distress. Please give me calamities, you see. That's the kind of devotee that gets that kind of treatment. Not someone, well, Krishna, I'll be your devotee if you give me a raise at the office, you give me a new car, a nice girlfriend, yeah, I'll become your devotee. Then no. Krishna will give everything to that person like Srila Prabhupada, you see, who had absolutely no desire, not a pinch of a desire for sense gratification. He came with 40, you all know the story, 40 rupees, and became, you know, millions of dollars, so many properties, so many vehicles, so many followers. Krishna can give everything to that person. He can give the whole universe to a person who will use that completely and purely in his service. He can give the whole world to such a person. That's the point. In other words, according to your ability to use, to whatever extent you can actually use things purely in Krishna's service, to that extent he'll supply you. But if you want him for your sense gratification, Krishna can do just the opposite and take everything away. You see? I take everything from you. There's also a verse like that. Both verses are there. It's an interesting contrast. I take away, to be kind upon my devotees, I take everything away from them and leave them with absolutely nothing. And then he says, I give everything. Can you imagine? It appears clearly contradictory verses. But are there any contradiction in Krishna? Not really. It's a matter of transcendental understanding, how they both principles are simultaneously valid principles. If somebody wants to be Krishna conscious, at the same time they're holding on to material desires, Krishna will rip it all away. So they have nothing to do to take shelter of Krishna. But a person who's actually completely purified his heart, who has not a pinch of a desire for sense gratification, to that devotee he can give everything. And Prabhupada's the example, you see. So we have to learn how to become more and more Prabhupada-like in our consciousness. We can never become completely, but we should try to become more and more like Prabhupada, you see, in our consciousness. He's our example, our perfect example. We should learn from Prabhupada and try to become more and more in that mood of Srila Prabhupada. Just see that wonderful sacrifice. Even if he has to die, it's all right. He's willing to stay in New York with no money, no facility. Even if he's going to die in some strange, cold city that he's never even seen snow before. It was a very uncomfortable position for him to be in, but he's willing to go there and die to try to serve his spiritual master. You see, that's how dedicated he was. So to such a person, Krishna gave so much facility, but even the first year, he went through a great ordeal, you see. That first year, he was very much tested, but you know, he said that was the sweetest year. Those days when I had nothing except Krishna, he said those were very, very sweet times. Prabhupada relished those early days when he had to struggle like anything with no help from anybody. He found those days were very, very sweet. So in this way we have to learn from our most illustrious magnificent founder Acharya how to actually, what it means to be Krishna conscious in the highest sense of the term. We have to learn from Prabhupada what it means to be Krishna conscious and pray for the mercy that somehow we can get out of our selfish, greedy, lusty, lazy, angry, envious quagmire that we're swimming around in right now. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
So, how we can practice Krishna consciousness if we are, by arrangement of material nature, we are put away from the temple and we have no chance to associate with devotees?
Well, we have to think somehow Krishna has arranged me not to be able to. Maybe I was being offensive and Krishna protected me. We have to understand that everything is happening under the arrangement of Krishna. And if somehow or other I'm in a situation away from the temple, this must be Krishna's arrangement to help me because I was taking the devotees for granted. I was starting to see them as ordinary people, finding fault with them. And to help me develop a better mood towards the devotees, now Krishna has moved me away. So I can see them with more respect and more feelings of love and attachment. And it could be like that. So we have to understand there's a transcendental purpose for everything. So if I'm in a situation where I just have to be away from the devotees, and I counsel many people in my e-course who are in that position. You know, they're like people who are members of Indian people, or members of our movement in India. They're working somewhere in the Middle East, you know, working in Saudi Arabia or something. They got a job there and they're all alone there, and it's very difficult. So whatever, if one is in a position that you cannot be with devotees, then you have to remember what Prabhupada told our godbrother Shivananda Sen in Germany. He was all alone, the young kid, trying to start a movement in Germany with no association at all. Prabhupada said, if you will always remember my humble teachings, then you'll always have my association and the association of your godbrothers also. So for some reason, by circumstances, you're separated, you know, from the devotees, then you have to read these books. You have to remember these instructions. And if you do that with full sincerity of attitude, then you will feel how the Acharya Prabhupada is with you, Krishna is with you, the devotees are with you. You have to worship the devotees, Prabhu. Narottam Das Thakur has told us like that. Anande bolo hadi bhaja vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava pade manjayi aman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna. Worship the holy Vrindavan Dham, and always in your heart meditate on the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So learn how to worship the Vaishnavas. Even if you're separated, you worship them in your heart. Then you'll always be with the devotees. I have so many wonderful godbrothers all over the world. I hardly ever see them, but I always think so nicely of them within my heart. I always carry my godbrothers in my heart. Just like I have one godbrother in Atlanta who was very instrumental in encouraging me as a young brahmachari, Balabhadra Bhattacharya Prabhu. You see. Even as I say his name, I feel like it's poetry, you know, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. I just worship him as a godbrother, you see. So we have to learn to worship the devotees. We have to worship the devotees. Otherwise Krishna says, you don't worship my devotees? Get out, you're not my devotee. You have to learn to worship the devotees. Cherish them, love them, relish their association, relish the opportunity to be with them and serve with them and have Krishna Katha with them. You have to learn how to do this. Otherwise, you're just a Kanishta and you'll never get the taste of Krishna consciousness. You understand? So being sometimes separated can be Krishna's mercy. I have to have more respect for the Vaishnava. Somehow Krishna has separated me, so let me take advantage now to really increase my feelings of love for the devotees. And then Krishna can easily change your situation. He's in control of everything. He simply wants to see that you can properly associate with the devotees. That's what he wants to see. Any other questions? All right.
This is a question you don't have to answer if you don't have to, but if we see two devotees fighting, like recently happened in our community, some devotees took one side, some devotees took another side, and become like a war.
Well, why don't you be the peacemaker in the middle? It's the best thing. Be the peacemaker in the middle. Prabhupada gives the example of Sanatana Goswami in Vrindavan. He was... Even though there were ordinary householders living there who weren't, you know, like complete sadhus, they were. But they would sometimes, you know, I mean, we've ever heard of that? Has everybody ever heard of a husband and wife quarreling with each other? Anybody ever heard of that before? Of course, it's a common thing. So when there was a quarrel between husband and wife, they would go to Sanatana Goswami. And he wouldn't take sides just blindly, but he would hear both sides open-mindedly. The wife would explain her side, the husband would explain his side, and then he would make judgment and they would follow his instruction. So, there's two ways you can deal with it. just be neutral and not get involved with it. But the better thing is you become Krishna conscious. You become very sober and fixed in Krishna consciousness. So both sides respect you as a mentor. That's the best thing you can do, Prabhu. You become, like this verse says, yad yad atarati shreshtas. You become an ideal acharya in your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. When you come in, they'll say, Prabhu, Prabhu, help us resolve this conflict. That's what you really need to do. You need to qualify yourself to be a mediator so that both sides respect you for your fairness, for your genuineness, for your purity. That's what you really need to do. But in the meantime, you just got to be neutral, you know. But and you should cultivate these qualities of a saintly devotee, the well-wisher of all, and then people respect you and you can resolve these conflicts by your judgment. And they will respect you for them. Okay?
Thank you.
So I think 6:30 is the cutoff, isn't it? And we so much appreciate everyone coming tonight. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.